Brothers and sisters, welcome on this snowy, wonderful Lord's Day. While we may not be together personally and physically, let us be together in spirit as we worship God. Let us pray. Holy God, we come to hear the good news of Christ who frees us from slavery and all that would oppress us. We come now listening to your word and gathering to understand its meaning and to live into that meaning. Lord, we ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm reading our gospel lesson today. It's from the Gospel of John. I'm reading from the second chapter, verses 1 through 11. Listen for the word of our Lord. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk, but you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Weddings are very strange and scary events. They are, on most occasion, an accident waiting to happen. When lawyers get to together, they tell each other lawyer jokes. And when pastors get together, they tell wedding jokes and wedding stories. Almost without fail, when I begin premarital counseling with a couple, they ask about things that have or might go wrong with a wedding, or things that have gone wrong with past weddings. I always try to be somewhat reserved and tell them that I'll wait until after their wedding to tell them. Then I will give them all the stories they want. But telling them before the wedding would cause an already anxious time to be amped up even more. Weddings are scary and tense because they involve so many moving parts, pent-up expectations, and almost always lots of family and friends who all have lots of advice about what should happen. Everyone wants it to be perfect, yet everyone has a different idea about what is perfect. Stir in a lot of nerves, different attire, small children, and ring bearers and flower girls, and we have a ripe recipe for disaster. In our gospel lesson today, we are brought to a wedding, and there is about to be a disaster of biblical proportions. You see, as tense and elaborate as today's weddings are, in these days, at the time of Jesus' earthly ministry, a wedding ceremony was followed by 7 days of feasting at the groom's parents' house. It is this tense scenario that the writer of the Gospel of John lays out a wonderful and beautiful analogy of exactly what Jesus has come into the world to fix. This is John's way of communicating, a foreshadowing of what is to come. Now, Luke and Matthew use many parables that Jesus taught to help us understand Jesus' mission and goal. Mark paints pictures, but the writer of John, true to the Eastern Hebrew thought process, uses allegorical scenarios. At this celebration of total reconciliation, a starting of a new life, the beginning of a new being as a man and a woman, as they come together to be made into one, this is the celebration of what God has instituted at creation as holy and good. It is, too, allegorically representing the union of God and humanity, the joining that God wants with us. However, there is a problem. Just in our joining with God, there is a problem. In this wedding, there is a problem. There is not enough wine. And this seems to be a real problem. But if you are fairly up on your Psalms, you would understand perhaps that the psalmist tells us in Psalm 104, verse 14, that God has given us wine to gladden the human heart. Now, the six water jars are not there for the storage of drinking water, but rather they are there for ritual containers that the Jews used for the cleaning of food preparation utensils so that what entered into the body could be clean. In the seventh chapter of Mark, we hear Jesus condemn this practice as useless because it is practiced without a clean heart. Religion has become something to practice instead of something to relish in and enjoy in, to be glad, to have our hearts rejoice. The dry water jars tell us that God's people had become dry in living out their relationship with God. Religion has become dry and rote and unable to give what is needed so that life with God can be full, plentiful, and joyous. Jesus has entered a world that suffers from not enough. Not enough love of God, not enough love of one another, not enough compassion, and not enough joy. There is not enough wine, not enough gladness for what God has given. Joy is lacking and will be lacking, and the celebration of God's gift of marriage, a holy union, is not and will not be joyous, would not be a joyous thing that it is supposed to be, because the wine is not there to gladden the human heart. The allegory tells us that as the celebration of the wedding, as us as humans being reunited with God, cannot be joyous because something is missing, and that is Jesus of Nazareth. But the good news at this wedding is that Jesus' mother notices the problem and brings it to Jesus' attention. Jesus simply remarks that his hour has not yet come. A theme in this gospel telling us that all things are ordered and should be done in God's time. But the unnamed mother of Jesus tells the servants to do whatever Jesus tells them to do. It seems to be a pretty good instruction for us even this day. Into this joyless situation, Jesus steps up and performs a miracle that on the surface seems to be rather minor. But in light of the analogy and allegory that John lays out before us, it is a representation of what Jesus came to do, to break us free from the frustration of us trying to defeat sin and suffering on our own by following rote religious practices. But rather, he came to joyously enter us into communion with our loving God, by being released from our fears about legalism and death and suffering. And all this is accomplished by Jesus' death and his resurrection. Remember, all of this happens on the third day. John tells us in the second chapter exactly what Jesus' mission is and what his resurrection will accomplish. Jesus will bring joy to our union with God. I do think that this passage to us today is a warning. We like to make our worship decent and in good order, which is indeed a good thing to do. However, we can overdo that. Sometimes we tend to dry out our faith and make our relationship with God more comfortable for us than it is to be joyously adoring God and being in His presence. We try to make worship predictable, safe, and let's face it, not too demanding. We try to box God into the church building and away from our lives, just as the Pharisees and Sadducees did more than 2,000 years ago. We want God around, but not only the way God wants to, but more on our terms. When God intervenes in our lives, opens opportunity for work in the kingdom, too often we, like Maria in the Sound of Music, run and hide and use the walls of God's church to block God out of our lives, instead of grappling and obeying, instead of listening and obeying and being in that union with God and trusting, we often try to run away and hide behind our rote worship. In doing so, we make ourselves dry and as useless as the 6 empty water jars. It is no wonder that fewer and fewer people gather on Sunday to worship, for we have such a tendency to be static and deaf to God's limitless love. This is terrible because it is that love from God that can inspire us to richly love one another and be limitlessly compassionate to everyone and to have a full feeling of joy in every situation. This is what God wants for us all. Perhaps on this day, we should repent of our attitude of scarcity, see the sign, and follow Jesus into the overflowing resources of our loving Father. It is only then that we might truly live lives that proclaim the very good news of a loving, all-powerful, and joyful God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us go to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we come to you this day as Christian believers and realize that you bring together a people of gifts, strengths, and needs to manifest the universal body of Christ. We pray this day for your church throughout the world, that every local congregation may live as sisters and brothers in harmony, showing forth the light of Christ in the world. In every age, you raise up servant leaders for your people. We pray for all who teach and lead, for all pastors, teachers, preachers, priests, and all those who spread your word and serve in the name of Christ. This day, we understand and give thanks that you, for the sake of the common good of all people, create human societies to be places of refuge and human flourishing. We pray for the leaders of the governments and especially for our leaders, our president, governor, and those in public service. May they receive wisdom to exercise government with true justice, grounded in mercy. Your son Jesus performed the first of his signs of glory at a wedding in Cana. We pray for all who are joined as family, for husbands and wives, and for all who make covenant to live together for mutual support and love. For parents and children, for the aged and the young, in all places and in all times. Lord, you are the giver of all good things. Receive our prayers that we offer for ourselves and for the world. In all things, grant us the courage to exercise your gifts for the good of the world. Through Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, we come praying this day, and we now pray together as Jesus taught each of his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, brothers and sisters, go out into this day and indeed into this world being joyous. Remember that God has given us all that we need to have glad hearts and to rejoice in the creation that he has brought us to. Go in peace. Go in love. Go in hope. Amen.